Words met. Whatever happened to the dream you had when you said, one day I'm gonna be so high in the sky, I'm gonna be no different from a bird, cause I'm a pilot. I got so much compassion in my heart, and in this lifetime I'm gonna help as many people as I can, because I'm a nurse. The whole world's gonna know about me, and everybody's gonna hear my name, because I am a star. I'm gonna help build the best houses with the best foundations and the best buildings in the world in this lifetime, because I'm an architect, and that's who I am. See, at the time that your vision took flight, you took pictures of what you wanted to be and you placed them on the wall of your bedroom, because in your mind you were so convinced that you could become that and so much more.
Capital 263.
Okay, welcome to a career podcast brought to you by Career Zimbabwe. We are here to just give you career information. So we do the discussions that most people don't want to do and talk about things that most people don't want to talk about, which influences and, you know, come across our careers and all that. And today we just have an interesting topic. Are we educated or we just passed exams? Then we have Mr. Adio Aditi Diniga to just help us through with the discussion. So, welcome, Mr. Adio.
Thank you, Mr. Nondo.
What came through your mind to write the article, are we educated or we just passed exams?
Oh, a number of things actually came to my mind when I was writing that particular article, are we educated or we just passed examination? The first one was when I was looking at myself in particular, the job that I'm doing now. I'm working for a development-oriented NGO, but at university I did a Bachelor of Science in Tourism and Hospitality Management. So now when I was looking at what I'm doing now and what I went to school for, I realized that I really did not learn a lot at university. So it then made me also ask that, am I educated or I just passed examinations? Then I also looked at some of my friends who are unemployed and they're basically at home doing nothing and they know nothing. So that's what then forced me to say that, well, if someone is a certificate affirming that they actually went through school, through university, but they're still sitting at home being unproductive, did then that person get educated or they just pass examination?
Yeah, which is something Chanchacho Dufundutso, which is there even a difference which people are seeing, or our educational sector, is it even seeing a difference between exams and the education there? Because Nazitantruku Noton, so we're giving this inspiration talk about for young people of my O level, Nema A level, what I went on your exams. So during the presentation, then the teacher is talking Arku orientavana on, you know, what you have to do and what not to do during exams. Then my friend Babati Sakawa Notoroti Waka to develop a marking, the way of marking my exams, because mangwachacha makore my computers, but they haven't changed the educational system.
Yeah, I think if you see what's happening with our education system is we have a, I would like to call it a dinosaur, basically. It's refusing to adapt, and as you know, dinosaurs refuse to adapt and they went extinct. Because we have here people who are learning the same stuff which was learnt by my father 30, 50 years ago in high school. And then a child who's living in the 21st century is still using the same methods of learning, the same Nakayopenyu, which, you know, someone in their 50s used at school, the same which is being used by someone who's at school now.
Yeah, but, then Panemunakati, this other time, you were saying that your first degree is just your gateway to getting out there. Then after that, you know, you can do what you want to do, because we're not going to also tour a second degree or even a master's. So does that mean that you still have to just pass the exams? Then wasn't go eat something that you want afterwards?
You see, for me, that's where I have a problem with these people who say, don't worry, first degree is just a foundation, it's just a way to begin, then you go forward. My question then is, if we intend to build a skyscraper, should we just build any foundation anyhow? Or we actually build a foundation with the skyscraper in mind? Because understand that a foundation meant for a single-story house cannot be the same with a foundation meant for a 15-story house. Mm-hmm. So then if you say the bachelor's degree is just a starting point, just a foundation, that's wrong, because you see, you don't have to approach it from that level. We need to start changing things from, I believe, as early as ECD, because that's where things really matter. You see, I was a friend once sent me this picture which said, we wasted our childhood discussing the anatomy of a grasshopper while children in China were busy learning programming and you know, and other, and being techie savvy. Mm-hmm. And now if you look at it, look at India, way way ahead in terms of technology. Then look at us, proud, high literacy rates. But do we have anything which we can speak about in terms of adapting to this current situation in this 21st century?
Yeah, which is another thing. I think I had a Twitter conversation the other time with Comrade Raymond Majongwe, and he was asking on the models of education that we have in Zimbabwe, and he was saying, what is the best model that we can use? And I said to him, there are two models which are famous, you know, across the world. It's either your students are indoor, then they do outdoor, but maybe one is 70-30%. Then there's also actually the outdoor, which Finland uses, you know. Then it's again the 70-30 or 80%, but students or kids are actually exposed more to the outdoor. Then they become practical, you know, and they know how to apply these things. But today, because we now have engineers who cannot even fix anything, we can even not even make anything, so should we just continue with the system that we have?
No, definitely not. Which is why in the article I said I will not throw away both the baby and the bathwater, referring to the new curriculum, the Dokora curriculum, as people call it. While I still have a lot of bones to crush, to chew with it, I agree with some of the points they raise in that curriculum. For example, things like heritage studies. For me, I have no problem with heritage studies, as long as they seek to foster a deeper understanding of who we are as a people, not spreading the warped ideologies of some people. I have no problems with it. So I think our education system needs a complete overhaul right from day one, like your ECD up to A level, because if you then try to change someone after they already have a degree and say, you can now change and fit into that thing, it's impossible. Already they've been messed up. And we know that when a child is young, that's when they are mostly impressionable. Mm-hmm. But now when a child is young, you don't give them access to thinking. You see, because the whole problem I have with our education system is it does not teach us to think. It teaches us to regurgitate. Essentially, we become photocopiers. As Paulo Freire in his book, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, said, mm-hmm. there's this thing called the banking concept of education, where teachers assume that students are tabula rasas, they are blank, they just come in, then they dump stuff on you. Exam day, they ask you to bring back that stuff. Mm-hmm. So for me, where is the thinking here? If you give me a sheet written something, then on exam day, you ask me to reproduce that thing. I haven't learned anything. I simply memorize what you said. So I remember when you also were at university, there was this famous thing, the CPF, cram, pass, and forget.
Yeah.
So essentially, if someone then does cram, pass, and forget, and then you take them in the industry, they're useless.
But now, yeah, but those are good points. But my question now is to say, so how then do we develop this thing that we want? Because you remember what the poem by Prince Iya, and he was saying, I'm bringing the school to court to say, you guys, your model of education has just been the same for the past 100 plus years, mm-hmm. and nothing has changed, but the world around us has changed. And one friend of mine actually said, schools are institutions of education, but they are not even learning themselves. They are schools, they are institutions of learning, but these schools themselves, they're not learning a thing. So then how then do we get to that point to say that we bring that critical thinking into the classroom?
I think the problem really lies at the apex of, I would lay the blame or the problem right in the hands of government as a whole, central government, not the Ministry of Education specifically, but the whole government. Mm-hmm. Because it needs, the country's policies need to be very clear on what we want to achieve as far as teaching our kids is concerned. Let's go back to the early 1980s, Thomas Sankara. He was very clear. He said, we want to be self-sustaining as a country. So what we're going to do is we're going to send our kids out there into the world to learn these technologies, these new methods of doing things. Then they come back and transform our system. Let's look at a country like Finland, which you mentioned, which is doing phenomenally very well. Mm-hmm. They first had a consensus as a country of where they want to go. Then when you have, as a country, agreed that this is where we want to go, it's easier then to tweak your education system. The same with Singapore. Singapore have what they call the MPH, meritocracy, pragmatism, and honesty. Mm-hmm. So these are commonly held values which are held by the country as a whole, in whatever sphere.
And so, that's something that we don't have.
Yes, we don't have that. We do not have a unified value system as a country. So essentially now, that's why our education system is very warped. For example, I was having a conversation with Majongwe on Twitter, where there were these Ndebele textbooks, which have horrendous mistakes. And then you look at the names of people who wrote the books, Shona names. So I was like, so are you telling me that there are no competent Ndebeles who can write Ndebele textbooks? Because you can't have Shona people writing Ndebele textbooks, because languages, you know, there are these nuances which you cannot really say, I cannot speak Ndebele by going to school. You need to be among them to know the culture, because language is not just about speaking, but also about the culture. So now you make these mistakes. So that's why I say it's wrong right from the apex. Because if as a country we have one unified value system, then we have people who are competent, in like the Singaporeans, that pragmatism. Is it practical? That honesty. Definitely, if you then say I will write and develop a book, and you're not really fluent and or familiar with the language and the culture, you're not being honest. Then in terms of meritocracy, those who can do things, let them do. Not that just... So now you see there's been this commodification of our education system. If you look at now the rampant spread of these funny colleges in houses.
Oh, I saw one recently, Harvard Preparatory School.
Now you see, and when Zimbabwe and someone is saying Harvard Preparatory School, not that I have problems with giving our schools fancy names, but essentially, what does it do? How many kids?
I think, is it on Facebook recently, there was someone commenting, I don't know if it was you, to say, it's actually, I think it was Makomborera Rozivisha. You're saying, this is actually not good to have a school say that, when it's advertising it, saying that we are actually an English-speaking school. So what, by the end of the day, is it that if you speak fluent English, then it means you can now go out there and make it in life?
I have a problem with that whole notion that English is a means of telling intelligence. It's not. It's a language, period. Just because someone can speak English better than someone does not mean they're better. In my brief stint as a teacher, I met kids who could speak fluent English. But when it came to marking their compositions, their comprehension, it was terrible. So I don't agree with that. This is where I then refer to one of my favorite all-time activists, Malcolm X, when he was asking that, who taught you to hate yourself? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair, the color of your skin? So I think that question ought to be asked now. Who taught you to hate your own language? That vernacular you speak about. I speak English not because I want to show people that I'm educated. No, because I want to communicate. You see, if I limit my communication to Shona Ndebele only, which I can speak, what about the Tonga people? But at least if you English, the way I use it, is because I want to communicate with everyone. Because it's sort of our a universal language, right? But then I should not then say when I go to Kumusha Ekaya, then I start speaking in English before elderly people would not even go to school. That's very wrong. Because essentially there, it means your education is silly. Because education is supposed to give you tools to be able to operate better in society. So if your education system teaches you a language and then tells you that you can't use this language, it's inferior, then you're in a situation where you have to use the language and you can't because you have been taught it's inferior, then that education system has betrayed you.
I think maybe going back to our experiences at university, especially the University of Zimbabwe, where we were, both of us, there were some things, if I start to remember or think of them now, which I think they didn't, or the university didn't do much, especially on the issue of writing dissertations. You know, you're writing a dissertation, a thesis, you're doing that, but by the end of the day, that paper is not published anyway. That paper is not checked if the research you're actually talking about, you've actually done it. And by the end of the day, we are saying we want people to go out there with the skills that we are talking about. So now you have just resuscitated Lazarus. You know? Wangoturo chitu now. You know?
Chitunachamuka.
You have resuscitated Lazarus and you have handed that in and you pass your you know, and you graduate. But by the end of the day, you're going out there into the market without the critical skills that you should have. Then that brings me to the point that our universities, just like the primary schools or the secondary schools you're talking about, they're still teaching the same thing in the same manner to everyone, as if everyone has the same capacity.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you. That is the same situation whereby what used to happen in primary school is being perpetuated at high school and even at university. Because my main bone of contention with university, like I said, is that we are not taught to think. Because critical thinking is very key. Because that is what then converts someone from being just a student to being useful in society. Because, look, I was talking to a friend who was telling me that when dissertations at MIT are published, companies will be falling over each other trying to get their hands on them and hire whoever would have written that dissertation. Because these dissertations are based on actual research to solve important problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like us where I then sit down and say, I'm going to write a dissertation on why jacarandas tend purple.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, so you find out they tend purple because they have too much water, and then what? So it's an issue where we just want to pass and go. So it's like we are being made from this huge assembly, this huge factory, this huge plant, which just churns out goods of the same order. Like when I speak to young people in my job right now, I speak to a lot of young people. When I speak to them, I then ask them that, so what do you want to do afterwards? After you're done with school? Then they tell me, I want to do this. Then I'm saying, so what are you doing now? Nothing, I'm going to school. Have you volunteered anyway? No, I haven't. So, okay, fine. What do you want to be in life? But for me, that's essentially what's wrong with our system, because those people are not thinking. Because thinking starts in increasing your value. As Jim Rohn, one of these motivational speakers, says, increase your value because the marketplace pays you for your value. Mm-hmm. I ask these people, they come to me, they need assistance with writing their CVs and everything. I see a CV. It's written, they list their course at university. Then they say, I'm a smart, hardworking person. I'm able to work under pressure. Then for me, what I literally do is I literally tear that thing into pieces and say, let's start from scratch. Because essentially, if you come to my place of employment looking for a job, and all you can do is show me a long list of courses, they are useless. What I want is the practicality. How am I going to benefit from you learning marketing here?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why these kids cannot do that, cannot prepare CVs which are up to standard, is because they were not taught to think in the first place. All they are thinking is getting a job.
Yeah, I saw one other CV which we loved at the other time when I was working for this organization. Then the young man says, I have computer skills. And under the list of computer skills, he writes MS Word. Dude, are you serious? How can you say you have a skill in using Word? It's like I have a skill in speaking.
Yeah, well, I think that's also where I was saying that our system is wrong, because essentially that person has no idea what the industry demands, which is also where I don't also say I think our education system and industry need to have a linkage.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to ask me, I think that's what the Ministry of Psychomotor was supposed to do, but I don't think they are doing anything. Because the whole idea is, if industry could then communicate with college or with universities that these are the people we want, then tailor your courses around what the industry wants. Not that 1980 curriculum for sociology is still the same curriculum being used now in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take that person with that archaic knowledge, you throw them into the industry.
I had a discussion with one of the HRs at one of the biggest companies locally.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, when we recruit HR managers for the company,
mm-hmm.
we treat them as a tabula rasa. because we can't we know that they've graduated, yes, mm-hmm. maybe they've a distinction or a 2-1 or something, but when we get them, mm-hmm. we treat them like they are just fresh. Mm-hmm. We start to give them information, new information, starting from scratch. And I was like, so why did they even graduate in the first place? They wasted their time. They should have just enrolled to the company and become apprentices, if that's the case anyway. Because it now means that our degrees are just on paper. The people are not, you know, up to the game. They cannot perform.
Yeah, actually, that's the case. They cannot perform. If you have noticed, I was talking to another HR person again, and they were saying that they now prefer hiring accountants from poly than from university, because they were saying the poly people have practical skills, but us people from universities are full of big words or high sounding nothings, or as Shakespeare would put it, we are full of fury signifying nothing.
Ah,
so it's even the same thing with my own degree, tourism and hospitality management.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how to prepare an omelette from university. I was never taught that. But you expect me to go and work in a hotel? I have no idea how to spread a bed. I only spread the bed the way my mother taught me.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why then people from poly then get an edge over us. Because when you get someone from poly, they know how to spread a bed. Because you don't just spread a bed anyhow. There's a method to it. They know all that. And then I don't, but I have a degree, they have a diploma. So essentially, I then blame our universities that they are not moving in line or in tandem with what's happening in the industry. I would agree that it was cool earlier, back then, when the University of Zimbabwe was the only university in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it meant that they changed very few people. So all the people from, let's say, from tourism would then go on to be managers, to manage these people from poly. Mm-hmm. But right now, they are, 12, 13, 15 universities in Zimbabwe. And all of them are churning out managers. So as you understand it, at a hotel, you can't have 20 managers.
Yeah, true.
But you can have 20 people who work in the front office, rooms division, accounting, but you cannot have 20 managers. So now it means that our industry failed to move in line, our schools, to mm-hmm. move in line with the developments of the industry.
Yeah, I think in some places, yes, I've seen that. The past 2 days I was attending Women in Energy conference, which was at HICC. And Engineer Magombo was saying that the CEO for Zera, so saying that they actually sponsor and fund some researches which are done at the University of Zimbabwe. But I think even that is happening, it's happening maybe at a lower scale, but as you are saying, there's need for that correlation
mm-hmm.
between the industry and the academia.
Mm-hmm.
For these people to actually say, because in some instances, I think some of the HRs are in surprise. Dude, with your degree, even if I was going to give you attachment, where will I put you? Which department will you go? Because the HRs don't even know what the academia is churning out, because these guys are just creating degrees from nowhere, which is just flying all over the place. But I think maybe before I conclude, you can just say one or two things.
Okay, I think basically what I would say is I would reiterate on that need for cooperation between industry and the education system,
mm-hmm.
as well as, so at an individual basis, at an individual level, we also have to take the matters into our own hands. I usually like to give myself as an example. I have a tourism degree, but I'm working for an NGO dealing in education. So I realized that I did not have the necessary skills required to make me get in industry. Then I sought to capacitate myself. How do I do that? There's something very simple. Reading. Right now, because of the internet, you can learn any course you want free of charge over the internet. So essentially now it's up to us, the people, up to us, these graduates, mm-hmm. to also seek to get skills which are relevant to industry. Because like I said, the marketplace pays you for your value, and your value is not in the paper you produce. It's in what you project. For example, when you ask you, so what are your 5-year plans? You know, there was this thing I always tell people who come to me for help before they go for interviews. There's this question which HR managers usually ask you at the end. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions for us? Mm-hmm. Often people say, no questions. But that is exactly where you lose the job. Because essentially, if you have no questions, it means, number one, you do not research about the company.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you have no other plans apart from just getting the job and getting a check at the end of the month. But imagine if you were to ask them. So they ask you, so what if any questions? Then you say, well, where do your best employees end up in 5 years? Number one, you have communicated that you want to be the best. And number two, you have communicated that you actually have a plan.
You want also to be them with them for quite some time, yeah.
You know, and you also care about your development, which is why you asked. You're not just there to just get a quick buck and go and pay some debts you should owe. So yeah, I think basically that's it. The government and industry have to be in tandem. Then at an individual level, you also have to see that my qualifications, they're just papers. I claimed, I passed, and I forgot everything. So you need to learn the practical skills which you can use in life.
No, thank you, Mr. Adioti T. Dinika.
Most welcome.
I think just as to conclude, we now need to make sure that our kids, if they are in high school, tertiary education, and all those stages, they should have the necessary skills that are needed at the workplace. They need critical thinking. They need divergent thinking. They need to develop their skills. They need to be open-minded. They need to have the skills of public speaking and communication. They need to know how to make, to monetize their passion, to monetize their degrees, to bring value upon themselves, which at the moment the universities are not yet giving us. And maybe secondly, that there's need for that correlation between the industry and the academia so that they come into one place and make sure that the students that are being trained, they are trained in the right way and in the right manner, not only for the industry, but also for national development. So this has been Parrington, and this is Career Podcast. See you next time. Thank you.
And now. Capital 263.